Okay, so picture this, right? You're at Hot Topic, browsing band tees, Funko Pops, you know the vibe.
Yeah.
Maybe you're grabbing a new graphic tee from Torrid or Box Lunch. You swipe that loyalty card for those sweet, sweet discounts. But here's the thing. What you don't know is that information, well, it might have just gotten swept up in a massive data breach.
Oh, wow.
And that's what we're doing a deep dive on today, this
Yeah.
recent security incident, right? At these really popular clothing retailers.
Yeah.
We're using excerpts from this article. It's called Massive Data Breach at Clothing Retailers: What Happened and How to Protect Yourself.
Sounds juicy.
Our mission today is to help you understand a few things. First, what happened? What does it mean for you? And most importantly, what can you actually do about it?
Okay, yeah.
And get this: the hacker, who calls himself Satanic,
Oh, edgy.
tried to extort Hot Topic for $100,000. Yeah, you heard that right.
Seriously. That's wild. So how did they even pull this off? Did they like hack directly into Hot Topic systems?
Well, that's where things get interesting. I'm going to bring in our expert here to break it down for us.
Yeah, so what's fascinating about this case is the hacker didn't actually target Hot Topic directly. Instead, they went after a third-party analytics provider
Third party, okay.
called Roblling.
Robbling, okay.
It seems they found a vulnerability in Roblling's system, and that gave them access to all of Hot Topic's loyalty program data.
So it's like they found a side door to get into the main house, basically.
Exactly. And we're not talking about a small leak here.
No.
This breach, it affected over 56 million customers.
56 million
No.
across all three brands.
Yeah, Hot Topic, Torrid, and Box Lunch. Huge.
Okay, so that's a lot of people potentially affected.
It is. And the information that was exposed is pretty extensive. We're talking names, email addresses,
Okay.
physical and mailing addresses, dates of birth,
Oh, that's a lot.
purchase histories, and even, get this, partial credit card numbers.
Okay, hold on. So let's unpack this a little bit. What does this actually mean for those millions of people whose information might be, in the hands of this satanic hacker?
Right. Yeah. Well, for starters, it means a much higher risk of phishing attacks.
Phishing. Ah.
Hackers can now send out really, really targeted emails that look totally legitimate, maybe
Ah.
even appearing to be from Hot Topic themselves.
Oh, sneaky.
These emails could trick people into clicking on malicious links or giving away even more sensitive information.
So it's like they're using the stolen information to set a trap, basically.
You got it. And then there's the threat of identity theft.
Right.
With all that personal data out there, hackers can potentially open new accounts in someone else's name, access their existing accounts, or even try to take over their entire online identity.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And I imagine those exposed credit card numbers,
Yes.
even partial numbers,
It's still a
it
risk.
adds another layer of risk, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Even those partial credit card numbers, when you combine them with other stolen data, it can be enough for fraudulent transactions. It's kind of like having a few pieces of a puzzle, right? Hackers can sometimes use those pieces to figure out the complete picture.
Yikes. Okay, so this is all pretty unsettling, but let's switch gears for a second, okay? Let's talk about what our listener can do to protect themselves, especially if they think they might be affected by this whole breach.
Good idea.
What's the first line of defense here?
The absolute first thing anyone should do is change their password,
Passwords, okay.
especially for those Hot Topic, Torrid, or Box Lunch accounts. And it's super important to use strong, unique passwords for each and every single account.
Every single account, okay.
Yeah, I know. It can be tough to keep track of all those passwords.
Right, so many.
But there's help. A password manager can be a real lifesaver here.
Password manager.
It not only generates strong, unique passwords for you, but it also stores them securely so you don't have to remember them all.
That's nice.
Think of it like a digital vault for all your passwords.
I like that. Okay, so what about this two-factor authentication I keep hearing about? Is that something worth setting up?
Absolutely. Two-factor authentication, or 2FA, it just adds that extra layer of security to your accounts.
Okay.
Basically, it means that even if someone steals your password, they still can't get in without a second form of verification,
Oh.
like a code sent to your phone, for example,
Makes sense.
or your email.
So it's like a double check.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it much, much harder for unauthorized access. It can be a little inconvenient at times, but honestly, the added security is definitely worth it.
Got it. So change passwords, enable 2FA. What else? What else can people do to stay safe here?
be extra cautious about those phishing emails we talked about.
Okay, yeah.
Double check that sender's address, hover over any links before you even think about clicking them, and never, ever give out any personal information unless you're absolutely sure the request is legit.
Sounds like good advice for, you know, life in general, honestly.
Yeah, it is. Remember, hackers are getting really good at making their phishing attempts look convincing, so you got to be on your toes.
Be suspicious. Be vigilant.
Exactly. And don't forget to monitor your bank accounts, your credit card statements regularly. Look for any transactions you don't recognize. And if you see anything suspicious at all, report it to your bank right away.
So it's about being proactive and spotting any signs of trouble early on.
Yeah, you got it.
Starting to feel like a lot, you know.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
Anything else people can do? Just for extra peace of mind.
For some additional protection, you could think about signing up for an identity theft protection service.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of those.
These services, what they do is they monitor your personal information, and then they alert you if they detect any suspicious activity that could indicate identity theft.
So it's like having a bodyguard for your personal data.
You could say that. They're there to watch your back and help you take action if anything goes wrong.
That's a nice visual.
Yeah.
I like that.
But, you know, taking all these steps, it's great for individual protection. But let's zoom out for a second, you know, and think about the bigger picture here. What lessons can businesses learn from this whole incident to avoid becoming, you know, the next headline?
Mm-hmm.
What could Hot Topic or even Robling have done differently?
Yeah, that's a really important question, and one that I think is relevant to any business that handles, you know, sensitive customer data.
It is.
Where do we even begin with that?
Well, for starters, businesses need to make cybersecurity a top priority. And I mean, that goes beyond just having the latest antivirus software, right?
Right.
They need to implement like a multi-layered approach to security.
So not putting all their eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Exactly. A multi-layer approach, this includes things like firewalls, which act as a barrier between your network and the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Intrusion detection systems, which monitor for any suspicious activity.
Okay.
And encryption, which basically scrambles data, making it unreadable to those unauthorized users.
So multiple layers of protection.
Okay. Got it.
What else is crucial?
Regular security audits.
Audits.
They are super essential. These audits, they help identify vulnerabilities in your systems and processes before hackers can exploit them.
Before they become a problem.
Exactly. Think of it like a regular checkup, you know?
Yeah.
For your company's digital health.
I like that.
And let's not forget about the human element here.
Oh, right.
Employee training is absolutely vital. Employees, they need to be educated on cybersecurity best practices.
Okay.
You know, how to recognize those phishing attempts and what to do if they even suspect a security incident.
It's like that old saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
You got it. Everyone in the organization needs to be aware of the risks and understand their role in maintaining a secure environment. But even with all these measures in place, sometimes breaches still happen.
Yeah, that's the reality.
And that's where transparency comes in.
It's transparency, okay.
So how a company responds to a breach is just as important as how they try to prevent one in the first place.
So in this case with Hot Topic,
yeah,
their response has been, well, surprisingly quiet, hasn't it?
It has. There haven't been any official statements or like notifications to customers yet.
Wow.
This lack of transparency, it just raises serious questions about corporate responsibility and, frankly, customer trust.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes for sure.
Oh.
But shifting back to our listener for a moment, you know, if you've ever swiped your loyalty card at any of these stores,
yeah,
how does this whole situation make you feel? Does it make you think twice about joining these programs, you know, in the future?
Good question.
Yeah. Is it giving you pause?
It really is. It makes you think about like that trade-off we often face in this digital age.
Yeah.
Convenience and those potential rewards in exchange for our personal data.
Right.
And it's a decision each person has to make for themselves, weighing those benefits against the risks.
Tough call.
It's a tough one. There's no easy answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No easy answers. It definitely adds another layer of complexity to something that seems so simple on the surface, right? Just signing up for a loyalty program to get a discount.
Yeah, you think so.
There's a lot more to it.
Definitely.
But now that we've, you know, we've laid out the basics of what happened and the potential risks, I want to dive a little deeper into some of the maybe more technical aspects of this breach in the next part of our deep dive.
Good.
We'll explore how vulnerabilities like that one in Robling system, can actually be exploited.
Yeah.
And what businesses can really do to protect themselves from these increasingly sophisticated attacks. Stay tuned.
I'll be here. Welcome back.
Sorry,
so let's unpack some of the technical details behind this data breach. You know?
Yeah, get into the nitty gritty.
Exactly. As we mentioned before, the hacker exploited a vulnerability in Robling's system
right.
to really understand like the gravity of this situation. Mm. It helps to grasp what we actually mean by vulnerability.
Okay, so vulnerability sounds like a weak spot.
It is.
But what does that mean, you know, in the context of cybersecurity? Give us the technical definition.
Okay, so imagine a house with a faulty lock on the back door.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
That faulty lock, that's your vulnerability. It's a weakness that can be exploited by, well, someone with bad intentions, right?
Right.
In the digital world, vulnerabilities, they can exist in software code, server configurations, even in how a system interacts with other systems.
So in this case, Robling had that, you know, that proverbial faulty lock, and the hacker, Satanic, figured out how to pick it.
Precisely. Now, we don't have, like, specific details yet on the exact nature of the vulnerability in Robling's system.
Right.
It could have been a software bug, a misconfigured server, or any number of, you know, technical weaknesses.
So many possibilities.
Hackers often use like automated tools to scan systems for these vulnerabilities and then bam, they exploit them to gain access.
That sounds really sophisticated.
It can be.
What can companies like Robling do to prevent these kinds of vulnerabilities from even happening in the first place?
Mm.
Like, are there best practices?
Absolutely. One critical step is to follow secure coding practices.
Okay, so like starting from the ground up.
Exactly. This means writing code that is, you know, robust, tested, and free of common security flaws,
right.
regular code reviews, and penetration testing.
Penetration testing, what's that?
That's where ethical hackers.
The ethical hackers?
I know, it sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But they actually try to break into your systems to identify vulnerabilities.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a controlled experiment.
So it's like having a second set of eyes, or in this case, a whole team of them, to double check everything.
Exactly. And then there's the importance of keeping all software and systems up to date.
Updates, yeah.
Software vendors, they regularly release patches and updates that fix known vulnerabilities.
Right.
Falling behind on these updates, it's like leaving your system exposed, you know?
Like leaving the door wide open. Okay, so it sounds like a lot of ongoing maintenance and vigilance is needed to stay ahead of these hackers.
Yeah, it's a constant battle.
Now, earlier we talked about how even partial credit card numbers can be dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm still a little fuzzy on how that works.
Okay, yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure, sure. You might think, you know, that without the full credit card number and that security code.
CVV.
Exactly, that the risk is minimal.
Yeah.
But hackers, they can be incredibly resourceful.
Right, they're clever.
They can combine those partial numbers with other pieces of stolen information.
Like what?
Like your address. Your birth date.
Oh, okay.
To make educated guesses about the missing digits.
So they're using the information they have to, like, fill in the blanks.
Exactly. There are also, like, sophisticated algorithms and techniques they use to generate possible credit card numbers based on partial information. It's a bit like cracking a code.
And they're getting better at it all the time.
Unfortunately, yeah, they are.
Okay, that's pretty unsettling. But let's switch gears for a bit.
Yeah.
You mentioned the zero trust security model.
Yes.
As a way for businesses to better protect themselves.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is and how it actually works, you know, in practice?
Sure. The zero trust model, it's all about eliminating implicit trust.
Implicit trust.
Instead of assuming that anyone or any device inside the network is safe,
right.
you verify every single access request.
Every single one.
Every single one.
So even if you're already inside the system, you still have to prove you belong there, like every time.
You got it. It's based on the principle of never trust, always verify.
It's interesting.
It involves multiple layers of security, strong authentication,
right.
network segmentation, and constant monitoring.
Can you give us like a real world example of what this might look like?
Sure. Imagine an employee, they're trying to access a sensitive database.
Okay.
In a zero trust environment, they wouldn't simply be granted access just because they're on the company network.
Right, right.
They would first need to provide strong credentials, maybe a password and a one-time code sent to their phone.
Okay.
The system would also verify their
Good advice. Okay.
Ensuring it meets security standards and hasn't been compromised in any way.
So it's checking their computer, basically.
Exactly. And even then, their access might be limited to only the specific data they need for their job.
So it's a much more granular and controlled approach to security.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But wouldn't implementing something like this be incredibly complex and expensive? Especially for, you know, smaller businesses.
It can be challenging, yes, but there are solutions out there designed to make zero trust implementation more manageable, you know? Well, it's an investment, but one that can pay off significantly in terms of, well, enhanced security.
I imagine there's no like one size fits all solution here.
You're right, there isn't.
It's about finding that right balance for each organization, their needs and resources.
Exactly. And, you know, we've talked a lot about businesses and how they can protect themselves, but this whole data breach, it also raises some broader questions.
Yeah.
About consumer trust and the implications for, like, the future of online shopping, data privacy, all of that.
It's a big conversation.
It is.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Incidents like this, they erode consumer trust.
Yeah.
Make people hesitant to share their personal information online.
It's understandable.
Which, you know, can have ripple effects on e-commerce, the digital economy as a whole.
Absolutely. And what about this hacker, Satanic?
Right.
This extortion attempt, it just adds another layer of complexity to this whole situation. What can you tell us about this tactic? How common is this?
Yeah, fill us in.
Extortion, unfortunately, it's becoming, well, increasingly common in cyber attacks.
Really?
Hackers are realizing that data is valuable. It's a commodity.
Oh, for sure.
And they're willing to leverage it for financial gain.
Right.
In this case, Satanic's demand for $100,000 from Hot Topic.
Oh, it's a lot of money.
It highlights how brazen these criminals can be.
Bold move.
It is.
It's a chilling reminder that we're dealing with, you know, individuals who are willing to exploit vulnerabilities for their own personal profit with, like, little regard for the consequences.
Yes, it is a bit scary.
But what are the chances that Satanic actually gets away with this?
Yeah.
Will they face any legal repercussions? Or is it just, like, a slap on the wrist and they go free?
That's tough to say.
Yeah.
Law enforcement agencies, they are becoming more adept at tracking down cyber criminals.
Okay.
But it's a constant game of cat and mouse, right?
Yeah.
The internet, it provides a certain level of anonymity.
Right.
Which can make it really difficult to identify and prosecute these individuals.
That's a tough battle.
It is. It seems like the digital world can be a bit of a Wild West at times, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Both opportunities and risks.
For sure.
And that's why it's crucial for both individuals and businesses to be aware of the threats, take those proactive steps to protect themselves, and, you know, advocate for stronger cybersecurity measures across the board.
Yeah, advocate. Yeah, that's important. Okay, so before we, before we move on to the final part of our duck dive, I want to shift our focus to the future. What lessons can we learn from this whole breach? And how can we use that knowledge to create a safer, more secure digital world? And what's the big takeaway here?
I think that's a great question for our final part. We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
We have, yeah. From the, you know, the technical details of this whole breach to the broader implications for businesses and consumers.
It's a lot to digest.
It is, yeah. Mm. As we wrap up, I'm curious, what do you see as the biggest takeaways from this situation? What are those key lessons we can all learn, you know, and apply moving forward?
Well, I think the most important takeaway is that data breaches, unfortunately, they're becoming just a part of life in this digital age.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, but when, so we all need to be prepared.
So we can't just bury our heads in the sand and hope it doesn't happen to us, right?
Exactly. We need to shift our mindset, you know, from reaction to prevention.
Proactive.
That means taking those proactive steps we talked about, like strong, unique passwords.
Yep.
Enabling that two-factor authentication.
Right.
Being cautious about those phishing emails, monitoring our financial account.
All those things we talked about.
It might seem like small things, but they can make a huge difference.
It's like building a strong defense, you know, one brick at a time.
Perfect analogy. And it's not just about individual responsibility. Businesses also have a crucial role to play.
Absolutely.
They need to prioritize cybersecurity, invest in those robust security measures, and be transparent with their customers about how they're protecting their data.
Transparency is key.
It is.
And I think as consumers, we also have a part to play in demanding those better security practices from the companies we do business with, right?
Absolutely. We need to vote with our wallets, you know? Support businesses that take data security seriously.
Put our money where our mouth is.
Exactly. We can also advocate for stronger data privacy laws and regulations that hold companies accountable for protecting our information.
Yeah, because right now, it feels like we're at a crossroads.
We are.
We need to decide what kind of digital future we want to create.
Mm-hmm.
One where our data is, you know, constantly at risk, or one where privacy and security are paramount.
That's the question, isn't it?
It is. I think this data breach, while unfortunate,
yeah,
it serves as a wake-up call.
It does.
A reminder that we can't just take our digital security for granted.
No, we can't.
We need to be informed, engaged, and proactive in protecting ourselves and our data.
I like that. Informed, engaged, and proactive.
Write that down, folks.
It's about taking control of our digital lives and not just passively accepting the risks.
Okay. Now, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to that thought-provoking question you posed earlier.
Okay.
You know, thinking about how vulnerable these loyalty programs can be to data breaches.
Yep.
Does it make you reconsider participating in them at all? Has this whole deep dive changed your perspective?
Honestly, it has.
Really?
Yeah, I've always been a bit wary, you know, about sharing too much personal information.
Right.
But this breach, it's really highlighted those potential downsides of these programs.
Yeah.
It makes you question, are those discounts and perks really worth the risks?
Yeah, the risk-reward calculation.
Exactly.
I'm with you there. I think we need to be more mindful, you know, about those trade-offs we're making when we sign up for these programs. Weigh the benefits against those potential privacy and security risks.
For sure. And maybe it's time for businesses to rethink how they design and manage those loyalty programs with, you know, a greater emphasis on data security and transparency from the get-go.
So a shift toward a more privacy-conscious approach.
Exactly. It's about building that trust with customers and showing them that their data is valued and protected.
Building that trust, yeah.
It feels like we're moving towards a future where data privacy and security will be, you know, key differentiators for businesses.
I think you're right.
Consumers, they're becoming more aware of the risks, and they'll choose to do business with those companies that prioritize their privacy.
Right. It'll be a selling point.
I think so. And that's a good thing. That's a positive development.
Yeah.
This data breach, while unfortunate, it might just be the catalyst we need to create a safer and more secure digital world for everyone.
Well said. I think that's a great note to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope our listeners have come away with, you know, a better understanding of the complexities of data breaches and the importance of taking those proactive steps to protect themselves. Remember, knowledge is power. And the more we know about the risks we face, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this digital world safely and confidently.
Well said.
Until next time, stay curious and stay safe.